You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Well, Don and Ivan. Ivan, you're sitting down or what are you doing?
I'm just overseeing you, so we've still got a recording.
Oh, yeah, we got a recording? Yeah, but this is a recording, isn't it?
It is.
I'd hate to speak to our guest here and this not going to air or being recorded. No, it's being recorded. I can see the cadence bars. Don, sitting beside you is one of the real talents of the Australian entertainment industry. I think her pronouns are she and her, but we can ask her that. But she looks like her pronouns are she and her. She's an OAM recipient.
OAM?
Order of Australian Medal.
For what?
Well, hang on. I'm introducing and you can ask her all that. And this is just a brief synopsis from the machine that we get all our information from.
Where you get your information from? It's called Wikipedia,
okay,
I suppose.
Well, you've looked her up, have you?
No.
Well, right. Well, I've looked her up.
Because I'd like to ask her questions and get to know our guest.
Well, I'm going to tell you who our guest is. This is what it says here. She has been in the early 80s. She acted in the Australian television series The Young Doctors, starting out Prisoner, Satter D, The Henderson Kids. She made guest appearances in the 89 episode of Mission Impossible. She has hosted Sex Life on Channel 10. She has starred in the drama series Fire. She was also a panellist on the program Beauty and the Beast and All Star Squares. She has had appearances in TV shows including The Secret Life of Us, Bert's Family Feud, Big Questions, Surprise, Surprise, Christ, I was on Surprise, Surprise, Gotcha Pizza, Celebrity Singing Bee, and had 3 episode run on Blue Healers. My mother-in-law was a faith healer. And my mother-in-law was a blue healer. She also she appeared on Neighbours for 3 months as Cassandra Friedman. She has also acted in 2 episodes of Swift and Shift Couriers, whatever that means. Anyhow, she'd been on Underbelly Files, Infiltration, Jack Irish. She is one of the founding members, or in fact one of the members of the absolute famous group called the Shantuzies. Don?
I know, and that's what I want to ask.
No, I'm telling the listener. I know you know. I'm telling the people who are wondering.
I was infatuated by the
Shantuzies. I haven't even
mentioned
the name. So this is, you always keep the guest's name till last, and they say, I wonder who this could be.
Well,
she is the vivacious, I think we can say that. I'm saying it anyhow.
That's sexist?
It is sexist. It is sexist to say that. It just should call her a person, but she's a vivacious looking person and she's a star.
Do you think she plays on it?
Well, so that's my first question was, it says that she was known as a sex symbol. Someone said that in Wikipedia, they said she is known as an Australian sex symbol. Oh. I'm wondering how she handles that in this day and age. And she is, and still is, the great Totti Goldsmith. Totti, welcome to You Cannot Be Serious. I don't care if people think this is wrong to say it. You look fantastic.
Thanks,
You're
mate.
Sitting here with a sort of a cowboy hat-ish thing on and you look fantastic. And I don't care if I shouldn't say that, but you do. And what do you think about being named? You probably still could be Australia's great sex symbol, but you were known as a sex symbol. Or is that devaluing actually your great persona?
No, look. To be honest, I'm from a different era. I'm not, you know, as PC as the young ones are because there's a lack of humour in that to me. But in the day, I never quite understood the whole sex symbol thing anyway. I didn't.
Well,
I mean, I still
look
find
hot,
that quite
is what
funny.
That means,
Thanks,
Toddy,
mate. No, I'm going to take the compliment, especially at my age. I'll take anything I can get.
And we just should say that Totti is in her own right, Totti Goldsmith, but is the daughter of Brian Goldsmith.
The late Brian Goldsmith,
who not long ago who left
A year ago.
Yeah. Go ahead, Don. This will
and
be good.
And the daughter of Rona.
How do you know that? You Googled me. Did you meet her?
No. Listen, my dear, can I ask, when he started reading all those credits, is in the Australian industry the Harvey Weinstein influence in Australian film industry?
Can you reframe that?
I didn't Harvey quite get Weinstein that. Harvey Weinstein touched up all his...
No, I know, but I don't quite understand what the question is.
Does that exist in Australia or is it only America?
No, it definitely did exist. And when I was a young'un in my 20s, I certainly got put in situations that were really uncomfortable and I didn't know. I mean, 20-year-olds nowadays are much more streetwise, astute, aware, have a voice. Yeah. And when I was at that age, I was much younger as a 20-year-old and I was put in positions that made me extremely uncomfortable and didn't have a voice. So it absolutely did happen in Australia.
You're intimidated. Good question, Don. Intimidated.
But do you think that'll ever be addressed or do you think it'll just continue as part of the industry?
I think it's being addressed and I think when you shine light on anything, for the perpetrators, I think it will absolutely make them more conscious of their behaviour because women of today... I did an interview recently and I was saying how much I learn from the young women of today because I was raised in an era where women should be seen and not heard. I was raised like that. And when terrible things happened, we didn't have the courage to stand up. And so... and talk about it on a public level. And I gave the example because I just did I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And I was triggered by something that one of the other girls was talking about. And I talked about an experience that I had in 2011 where drugs were put in my bag by a guy I was dating. The policeman who leaked it to the press illegally was my second male. And then Darren Hinch, who was a family friend, didn't back me and kind of threw me under the bus. And this conversation came out again. And I did talk about in an interview that at that time, and that was only 11 years ago, I still didn't know how to have a voice and stand up for myself because I was damned if I did, damned if I didn't. If the guy that put in my bag said he didn't do it, I'm still going to be in a position that it looked like I was bullshitting.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Right? So it's interesting. In this interview, I was talking about how much I'm learning from younger women to have courage and stand up and speak your truth. So we are, we came from a very different era.
May I, Don? Why, just as a matter of interest, why didn't Darren Hinch back you, or why did he throw you under the bus?
Well,
because I know Darren. We all know Darren,
and Darren was what I considered a family friend. Yes. He was a family friend, and
but
I
not
don't
anymore.
Know. I don't know what his choice was, and that's for him. And he loves a bit of a headline. Mm-hmm. But interestingly, at the same time, Kerri-Ann Kennelly, who I knew from just being around, bumping around Channel 9 and at social events, I didn't know her like I knew Darren. And she said on her midday show, "I just, I've met Toddy a lot of times, and I know people that know. I just kind of imagine they're hers." So she sort of had my back. And someone that knew me didn't. So obviously it was for the headlines. And Darren is, he's pissed off that I'm bringing this up again and whatever. That's his choice. I'm bringing it up as something I went through because although it was 11 years ago, it sits when you haven't had a voice, things sit in your throat and that you still can feel quite triggered about that. So I felt good that I talked about it and talking about it as far as women being able to have a voice and stand up for themselves. But why Darren threw me under the bus, I don't know. He just made a call that was going to be better for his radio program at the time.
Don, just to follow what you were asking, Toddy, a nice question. I liked it, Don. I wish I'd thought of it. You said you absolutely were harassed by male CEOs and producers and people who called the shots, and you're intimidated by them. And did you for the future of or the sake of your career, did you actually comply with any of them, or was it tempting to, or you thought, I've got to make a decision here, whether I come across or I make it on my merits, so to speak.
Well, it was about me. It only happened a few times, and I didn't end up having sex with anyone. I wasn't put in a position like that. It wasn't nearly as bad as what these women now are coming out and saying, the Harvey Weinstein, for example, situation. But I was certainly put in positions where I was asked to change clothes in front of men, and I did it because I felt that they were in a position of power and I had to do it. I didn't I was intimidated.
Yeah, so that's right. That's right there as sexual harassment. That is right up there, no matter what era that's in.
Yeah, that's sexual
and
harassment.
This is the fine line between the Me Too movement,
it is.
Which people get harassed, women do, and sometimes the women exploit the fact that they've been harassed for their own propaganda.
Yes. Well, I didn't talk about it, and I guess I was more insecure at that age than the women are today, and I didn't know how to have a voice, and I didn't know how to stand up for myself. So I'm a late bloomer. It took me a long time to really, and it was very generational. This is a very generational thing.
So do you think it's still going on today, or there'd be not much of it?
Yeah. I think there'd be,
because of the
I'm sure it's still going on, but I'm sure there's less of it because the perpetrators would be much more aware of women calling them out.
They'd be very careful to pick their mark and be very sure that if they made a move, that probably the person they're making a move on was going to be compliant, or else all hell will break loose.
Correct.
Have you any children?
I've got a daughter, yeah. She's 28.
Now there's a lineage of...
Layla. Layla.
Sammy knows Layla. Well, met Layla.
Don't look at That's me like that, song. Don. I've met Layla.
So there's a lineage of entertainment in your
family.
Family,
yeah.
Is Layla interested in the entertainment industry?
No, she followed after her father. Her dad was a Olympic downhill skier, Stephen Lee. He did three Olympics.
You haven't done a lot of research, have you, Don?
Skier.
No, I've done no research. I'd rather
She was born on my birthday. She looks a lot like me, but she's a spit out of his mouth on those skis. It's one of the most beautiful things I've
Stephen
ever
Lee
seen.
Did Stephen Lee come from... Is he from Myrtleford?
No, from Mount Beauty.
Yeah, well,
originally
up that way. Yeah,
Sydney.
Up that way. He could ski.
Oh, man, could he ski.
Yeah, years ago. He was one of the first, wasn't he?
He or really...
Malcolm, was it Malcolm Milne or Stephen
yeah,
Lee?
Yeah, no, Malcolm Milne before Steve Lee. He's older. Steve's my age, 1962 baby. Right. And Stevie opened a lot of doors for Olympic... For our Olympians now,
in
winter sports,
yeah.
And he's an extraordinary man, and was an extraordinary skier. I say was because he's had a stroke and he can't ski now. And but he's was very vocal and opened up doors and very respected in the.
So your daughter's following what his?
Well, she trained for the Olympics, and everything about her whole life was about skiing. And she's a superb, extraordinary skier. But she got to 16, and she just went, "I want to have a life. I want to go to my friends' birthdays. I want to go shopping down Chapel Street. I want to be a normal 16-year-old." And so she didn't pursue it on that level, but she certainly had the talent.
Mm. So Don mentioned your mother.
My mother, Rona. How do you know Rona?
And that makes you, I presume, Olivia Newton-John's aunt.
Niece.
Or she is your aunt.
She's my aunt.
Yes.
Yes.
So just tell us the connection there, Don.
Yeah.
Not. I'm not asking you, Don. I was looking at you saying...
Yeah, Don, how did Rona come up?
Yes, if you've done no research, how did
I'm
it come up?
I'm just fascinated because she didn't live in Australia for very long, so...
Well, don't shrug your shoulders. No one can see.
Well,
you
I've got
doing
a question.
That.
Yes.
Well, hang on.
About Rona.
How did you come up with
well,
Rona?
Well, yeah, do you know things?
Well, you know nothing, Don. You know nothing
well,
about her
I'm
at
just
all.
Just not a pretty face.
You didn't know she had a daughter or who she was married to, and suddenly you came up with that name.
Mm-hmm.
So we're a sharing, caring group here. Talk to me. Come on, the Rona.
I want to know the other thing. I want to know from you.
Oh, he's avoiding it.
Yeah.
Well, I just know.
How?
I know that you've got two sisters.
A big pardon?
I've met one, but I know you have two sisters.
You're speaking to me?
Yes.
We're speaking to Totti.
That's right. So there are things you know.
Oh, well, did you know James Watt invented the steam engine? What are you talking about?
Stevenson did, didn't he?
Oh, whoever.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you, seeing that you just mentioned it before about celebrity No,
I'm a slipper, get me out of here. Yeah.
Okay. Why did you do that? Because I want to ask you about this that's on the front page of the paper today about Wayne Carey.
Okay.
Now,
good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why
along.
This the celebrity squirt?
I'm segway. I'm running with you. Yeah. I can
okay.
Track.
So
I can
why
track
did you? Why did you? Why did you do this? I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
A few reasons. The first one, it was right bang smack in the middle of COVID, and I was bored out of my brain, and I'm right up for an adventure. The second one was there's a charity component that you can win $100,000 for your given charity. And my ex-husband, Stephen, we just mentioned it, had a debilitating stroke, and I learnt a lot about stroke. And I wanted to shine some light and hopefully win some money for the Stroke Foundation. Mine was more about Shining Light because I really didn't think I was going to win. And also I wanted to earn some
money. How did you go? And did you win it?
No, I didn't win it. No.
Do you get voted in or out by
the... No, the way it was during COVID, because normally it's shot in South Africa and the whole thing is voted, it's done live and voted by the people. Because due to COVID, we did it in Australia where the English and the Germans shot it up in northern New South Wales. And I was fortunately in the group that we got bounced out backwards out of a chair, but it was about not being able to measure something and weigh something and count something. And then the final six that got through that were voted out by the peeps. And I didn't really want to be voted out by the peeps. I think that would be... I was really happy getting that far and, yeah, really happy getting that far. So I did 17 days in there. Or 17 sleeps. So that's a fair whack of time when you're starving.
So is the show a contrived show where they ask you to have some angst or some disagreement with the people there, or is it genuinely you try and find who your soulmates are and you dislike other people there just genuinely?
The latter. I think because of COVID, it was really important to them that it wasn't a bad feel, and they got people that they hoped would get on well because they really looked at it and they talked to us about
this. Did you get on with everyone?
We did. Look, there was one guy that gave me the shits like I can't tell you. This English guy called Joey from Essex, and I said I said he's just a dick, and I wasn't, afraid him being
so. It's not censored or edited.
It's definitely edited. So they film us 24 hours a day, and then they do choose the way they want to frame you.
Happy with the way you came out of it?
Look, to a point, there was one moment that pissed me off a bit, but as quickly as it pissed me off, it went again. But I think they didn't. They showed a certain side of me, not all of me, and there's a lot in all of us. We're a lot of. Especially women, right?
Just before you were going to answer why Joey was a dick, before Don just didn't let you answer that, why was Joey a dick?
Well, the way I experienced it was he was a little bit narcissistic and a little bit entitled.
He's up himself.
And he was a bit... Well, there was very little food.
Who is he?
He's some guy from some show called... Something about, Essex, and it's a family, and they watch them growing up. And since doing this show, I don't know, it's called, do you know what it's called?
Something from Essex.
You Google that? Yeah, we love Mr. Google. So his life has been being on reality shows, and then he's gone from one reality show to another. And God love him, he's bought a $10 million house, and he's done very well doing this life. But I think it can actually impact the way you are as
a person. Do you get paid for it?
You do get paid for it.
The reason I'm asking...
I wouldn't have done it if you didn't, to be honest.
Okay, yeah, the reason
I'm
asking...
It's been hard enough in my industry the last few years.
Yeah, okay, the reason I asked that is because on the front page of the Melbourne News Pictorial, there's a story about Wayne Carey.
That would be the Herald Sun.
Herald Sun, yeah. Thank you.
Good on you, Toddy.
Thank you.
It's called The Only Way is Essex. The Only Way is Essex. All right, back to you. Sorry, I just had to...
Okay.
Thank you for Googling that.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not the Argus, is it, Don, or the...
No, the Argus went out of print in the 1950s.
That's right.
The truth, remember
looks
the truth?
Like,
I do.
Think that's gone out of print.
Would you have featured in that? We had Ron Taylor in here who picked all the page three girls. Ron Taylor was the racing rider and his job was...
I was so chubby and not... I don't know.
How old were you?
Over 16, I know that, or it would have been illegal. I don't know.
So you were number three, page three.
There was no boobs. Yeah, I was kind of... I've slimmed out as I got older, especially post...
Chubby. I'd like to see what you call chubby.
Why do they call it menopause? Why? It's bloody womanopause.
Why do they call it menstruation?
It's just pause in your life for a while. Men. It's all...
Menstruation. It's all about the
I'm
men.
Telling
menstrual.
You. Menstrual. Yeah.
Why do they call it anything?
Menace.
Yeah. Manager. Gone. Moron. Oh, no, sorry.
No, men on. Men. Go on, back to the pictorial.
Yes, getting back to the pictorial.
The Sun pictorial.
Wayne Carey.
Yes, I'm sorry.
It's been reported, obviously. Yes. There's, what is it called, the show he's on now?
What is it?
And he's come out about being abusive in his past relationship.
Is it SAS? Is it that show?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I've got to watch that. That looks hectic.
Okay, hectic. Now, the reason I'm saying that, I know I asked you whether you got paid, yes. He'd have to get paid to go on that show because of his priors. We tried to get him on our podcast. He wouldn't come on.
Really? Because he knew you'd, like, slay him, shred him.
He was shy to come on.
Oh, shy.
Well, how
you
do you know
would have asked him the obvious questions
shy.
Which have appeared there. Now, he would have to get paid. That's why I was
bloody
asking.
Bloody hope so. That's because hell. That show would be hell. I hope he's paid
handsomely.
Yes,
but also to make those confessions, and it's probably ruined his career as well.
What was the confession?
About abusive, being abusive in relationships to his partners.
Did you watch the episode?
No, I don't watch any of this.
I wonder if he was doing it to be cathartic. Correct. And has he been attacked?
Yeah, but he's bringing undue damage to himself.
Look, let me tell you something. When you're in there and you start, well, I can only speak on behalf of my experience in A Celebrity Get Me Out of Here. You forget the cameras are there. You're starving. You don't get much sleep, and you're very triggered. And if this has been sitting in him, and it's something that he needs to talk about and validate. He was in a bad place in his life when he was being an abusive person in a relationship, and he wants to talk about it. I don't know how he talked about it. Maybe he wants to stand up for these women or talk to men and help men that are got too much testosterone and raised inappropriately. Who knows? I don't know.
Ivan met a girl that was on my boat on the weekend. Ivan?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she went out with Wayne. And yes. She said she never experienced any of what we're talking about. He was very nice to her.
That's really good
and,
to hear.
She said she never experienced any of that. I could mention her name, but I won't.
Look, there's no excuses for hitting or abusing anybody, but certain relationships, you can trigger each other more. You know, relationships that aren't good, you'll be much, much more triggered. And I'm not excusing him. I don't know what I'm talking about here. And I don't want to jump to his defence. But I kind of do, because in my experience of the times I've met him, he's been nothing but sweet and a little bit shy.
No, the reason I'm asking you've just got to get paid to come out and do something like that on a national television show.
It
wouldn't be cathartic. You know, you'd have to be financially rewarded.
You'd have to be rewarded because the networks make a lot of money. So why shouldn't you be rewarded? Nothing to do with I made a choice. No, it wasn't a conscious choice at the time when I talked about my experience with the drug thing. It was triggered by something else, and who knows, he might have gone there because he wanted to talk about the space he was in when he was in this abusive relationship and grow from it and help other men. I don't know. I need to watch the episode to be able to talk
about
this conversation properly.
But if they're taping you 20 hours a day, you would just, at some point, you'd just forget and
you
then
do.
You'd just start talking
you do
about
forget.
Things.
There's hidden cameras everywhere. They're not in your face. Mm.
And were you encouraged, not you necessarily, were you encouraged to be a bit risque and have relationships or get
they
on
did
to
ask
people?
If I was single. They did ask if I was up for it, and I said, was like, no,
oh,
no,
they
no,
did
no,
ask
no.
that if you're
they
up for
did,
it.
They did, and I said no, and I do believe that.
Hang
Joey,
on the show.
The producers, before you go on the show, they ask a lot of questions. They have a psych that profiles you. They ask you a lot of questions about things. The only place I wasn't totally honest was I said, I'm not afraid of anything, which is bullshit, because I thought if I say I'm really afraid of rodents and spiders, they're going to put me underground with rodents and spiders. Yeah. So I was pretty clever there. But the rest of it, I was just, you know, just whatever. I overshare. That's why I'm sitting here with you guys.
So if you'd said you're up for, you know, you're single, and would they encourage you to have sex with someone on?
I don't. Look, a show like I'm a Celebrity, they wouldn't encourage it because they're actually pretty good people, to be honest. But if it's – I can't imagine anyone knowing that there's 100 cameras hidden around you is going to have sex. And if you do, well, that's your brand.
You haven't watched TikTok lately, have you?
I'm not on TikTok.
No, I'm not on TikTok.
But the episode, the series before, what's the girl, Abby Chatfield?
Yep.
She was – I caught up – excuse me, I need to cough. Clear my throat, I should say. I was Googling before I said yes to the show. I was Googling the season before, and you get grabs of it. I didn't watch the whole thing. She's overtly sexual and very comfortable in that space. And so she was, you know, she was flirting with a guy, and good on her. That's a choice that she made in the generation that she's in and her brand and what she is. But it's not my brand, and it's not who I am. I'm probably very different to who I am to what people think I am anyway.
Well, I tell you, this is the Google machine says this, so I'm not speaking about anything no one doesn't know. It says you had chronic fatigue at some stage. Mm-hmm. I've not experienced it. Don't think I've had it myself. I reckon you might have it, Don, just to be honest. But I don't know what. How did you decide or discover you had chronic fatigue, and what does the symptoms or what did that mean to you?
Well, at the time, I was doing a show. I knew I was doing breakfast radio, and I was overwhelmingly tired. And I put it down to having a 2.5-year-old child,
and pressure,
stress, pressure, lack of sleep, balancing a kid, you know, school, all that stuff. And then I was shooting Sex Life on the weekends, going up to Sydney, filming that, and you know, my lifestyle was pretty full on. And then I was starting to kind of sink with it a bit more. I found out I had glandular fever. So I tried to look after myself, but in those days, I didn't know how to say no to work. And I got a national tour of Greece, the spectacular musical.
Mm-hmm.
There was Craig McLaughlin and Danny Minogue and all these people, and we toured the country, and it was awesome. But I was starting to feel worse and worse and worse, and then I was pushing through because that's the kind of personality type I am. And then I got offered the lead in the Rocky Horror Show to play Janet. And I'd always wanted to play that role. And I picked up Giardia in Sydney. There was a breakout. And I had to...
You after picked up what?
Giardia. It's a stomach bug. It's a virus. It's nasty. Nasty. It's normally in a third world country, and somehow mm-hmm. It was in the 90s, I can't remember the year, 1996 or something. Anyway, it was all over the news to, you know, boil your water, wash your, do this, do that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I got Giardia. And with the glandular, I sunk into this unbelievable place that I was...
Depression?
Depression came later because I just couldn't get out of bed, and I had to raise the flag and resign from a show, the Bing Rocky Horror Show, from a role I'd always wanted. And that was really, really hard for me. And I'm not used to not... being 100, giving 110%. And so after a while, I just got sicker and sicker and sicker, and then I finally got diagnosed with chronic fatigue, and I was 18 months bedridden.
Wow.
And it was, I was freezing cold in the heat and boiling hot in the cold. My circadian rhythms were out. I was awake all night and asleep during the day. I ached from head to toe. I was nauseous. This went on for years, and it took me 5 years to get back to work. So I didn't work for 5 years, because I got to the point, I'd say to my agent, I'm ready to audition, and I'd learn the script and get in the car. By the time I drove to the audition, I couldn't get out of the car. I was just...
Well, you're an extremely resilient person, Don, because this would have been before, I presume, you had chronic fatigue, but you were part of a fantastic group called the Shantuzis.
Yes.
Extraordinarily, I know people who have seen you perform, and they say it's world-class stuff. How did you get onto the Shantuzis? How did you develop that or put it together?
Well, we lived in a kibbutz, pretty much. My dad, being Jewish, you know, he didn't want all of his children. He actually ended up having eight. Didn't want us all moving out. So he bought on Punt Road in South Yarra, bought what was called, it was an old people's home. And he knocked about five of the apartments through. It was built in 1910, so it had a cellar and a tower and a really beautiful old place. He gave my sister Fiona, my brother Brett and I all an apartment each. It was for us to do it up. And he put in a phone booth, because in those days it was only... You know,
you were the forerunner of the block.
We were. And Dad knocked through five apartments to make a big house, and we all lived in this place like a kibbutz. My brother Brett lived next door to me, to my apartment, and he's a muser. He plays everything, and all his mates were coming round, you know, doing jams. And I had a group of girlfriends, there were five of us at the time, that would come to my place, and we loved 50s, 60s music and picking harmonies and any excuse to drink champagne and eat cheese. And Brett... Our dad had a club called the Underground in those days. And
yes.
Brett said, for your top, why don't we get a band together for your 24th birthday, which was coming up in a few months. So the guys, there was David Rain was, you know, playing drums, and Frankie McCoy, and they, you know, he had his mates and I had the girls, and we rehearsed and we put on a show for 1,000 of our closest mates, and Dad loved it and gave us a residency. And through that residency, which just went gangbusters, Brad Robinson, who was the keyboard player of Australian Crawl at the time, he said, I'll manage you. And, you know, so it was all just fun. It was crazy. And then a guy called David Whitney, who wrote Long Tall Glasses with Leo Sayer, he came in and watched it because word spread and everyone was coming to see us. So these five chicks, you know, doing this great 50s, 60s thing, choreographed and whatever. And he said, you should do this song called Witch Queen of New Orleans by Redbone. So he told Brad. Brad rang Gadinsky, Michael, and said, you know, we want to do this thing. He said, how much money do you want? And threw some money at us. We went in and recorded it and shot a video clip. The next thing we signed to Mushroom and the rest is history.
Amazing.
And you did live performances where? Some of the more notable places you
Well, we performed everywhere, everywhere. We were doing sometimes 8 gigs memorable. A week, doing double gigs. We were doing bar mitzvahs, weddings.
What was the most memorable live gig you did?
The tall ships with, there was Marsha Hines and Yotha Yindi and a whole lot of people. We were way out of our league at the time and it was down at the Port Melbourne Pier with the, there was 100,000 people. It was New Year's Eve just going off and we're going, how did we end up here? And then it was going on Hey Hey It's Saturday. It was going on Countdown. It was there was just so many gigs and it just went nuts. David Rain was this sex symbol. Girls were trying to like bash down a dressing room wall. You know, he was David Rain, is David Rain, younger brother. And it just took off and it had a life of its own and we just couldn't quite believe it.
That fascinates me because there was another group called Cheetah as well as yourselves in about the same time. Why didn't you really take off? Was it more male orientated the music industry in Australia back then? Because there was only two female groups, you know.
Cheetah were a bit before us. Cheetah were a little bit older than us.
Yeah.
I think we were offered a record deal with London Records and the boys ran the show and they actually said no and they picked up Kylie Minogue. So it was really about saying yes or no and timing. Yeah. And that was pretty much why.
So did you model yourself on
Bananarama?
No,
they were good.
You were good. You were good.
We
I've got it written
them.
Down here, Bananarama. the Spice Girls.
No.
I'm just asking. Yeah. And God forbid me saying this, but people like the Andrews Sisters, did you?
More the Andrews Sisters, because when we started it was more 50s, 60s music and we more modelled our harmonies and everything on that. And then when we signed up with, I guess Witch Queen took us in a more pop direction, especially the way we did a version of it, which led us to Eve and my brother Brett writing, which was Wanna Be Up was the first single.
Yeah.
And so we steered out of that direction into something. We had no master plan. We literally
did
it was
off
hand
the
over
top
hand.
Of your head. Did it off the top of your head? Just
we just kept kind of going, and I think that was a beautiful thing, and also worked against us. So, I think you need a
so why did you break
plan.
Up?
I left first.
Why?
Because I wanted a baby, and I was. It just got to the point I went.
Is this where you met your husband?
Do you know what? I actually left the band. I met Stephen at a gig because Eve was married to an Olympic skier at the time, Rob McIntyre, and he brought Steve along to a gig. And I wanted a baby and I didn't want to be doing 8 shows a week. I wasn't going to have a kid that way. And that was so strong in me. And so I did go and have my baby and then I
got regrouped?
We've constantly regrouped. I mean, I only left, I've left now because I went to America before COVID happened. I wanted to go and really study acting. I've become a better actor as I've got older because I've really started studying the craft. And a lot of American teachers and English teachers are brought to Australia now doing masterclasses. So my skill level went up a lot. And so I went to the States. I wanted to not be on the road. I wanted to go, well, I'm turning 60 in whatever year it is, and which is this year, and this was 2 years ago, and when I want to really hone the craft. So I went there and COVID brought me back. So I was over there for 3 months and then it was like everything shut down, came home.
I'm just wondering, have you seen, I've absolutely besotted by this show. I don't know why. It's a show on Stan called Nashville.
Oh my God.
Have you seen Nashville?
That
it
was...
Is.
I saw it when it came out. It was amazing.
It is.
Oh my God,
well
it's so amazing.
It is. It's about all the bitchiness and all the backstabbing and the deals that go on in the country music scene in Nashville, and it's acted so well by the people.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
So well. And the story's told
the music.
Really well.
So why do I ask you that? So do you have any Olivia Newton-John is your aunt?
Yes.
Yeah. I suppose you know her pretty well, and
very well.
And do you confer with her about directions that you head in musically or not?
Not musically. I mean, she's just so pro everything that us guys do, my brother and sister and I. She's just
beautiful,
so supportive.
Girl.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Woman, yes.
Yeah, she's what you see and some. She's just beautiful. So, no, I don't. But I do talk to her about choices, about, you know, things I should do. And because she was more of a mother to me than Rona, that's clearly one of your best friends because you brought her up.
Was Rona...
I want to know
the Benny Hill show.
You mentioned all these brothers and sisters.
You can't get a word.
Oh, sorry. In the middle of asking now, Rona, young Rona, Toby, a question.
Now, was she on Benny Hill?
She was.
Yeah.
She did a couple of Benny Hill, a few Benny Hills.
There you go.
She did. Oh, my God, I actually saw one. I'll tell you about two. Do you want to hear about a couple
go
of them?
It.
So my mother was pretty hot. She was a model in the, you know, in her youth, and then she went and started doing theatre and stuff. And... So she was on the Benny Hill show, and this is my memory. I haven't seen these clips for a long, long time. But one of them, she's sitting on a bike, on a push bike, and Benny Hill is pumping up the tyre. And as he's pumping up the tyre, her boobs so Benny Hill. And another one, she goes into a doctor's surgery, and he's the doctor. And he sends her behind the screen to change. And as her clothes are coming off, his clothes are coming off. You know, it's it's Benny Hill.
You couldn't do that today.
But she was hot, my mother. She had a beautiful rig. Is that sexist of me to say that?
Yeah, it is. We love it.
It's extremely
sexist. And very well said. Now, you're also a marriage celebrant.
Yes.
Don, we could have kept you in business. Had I known you were a marriage, I could have put a summer wing on your beach house. I could have kept you in business indefinitely. That's exciting. And can you say who are the highest, or is it confidential, who are the highest profile people you've married?
Well, I normally, because of gigs and my weekends are normally taken up, I tend to do mainly friends and family and friends of friends. But James Rain is probably my most well-known, and he's also a really good friend, obviously. But, yeah, James.
Is that just recently?
No, that was a few years ago, maybe.
He's
been married, yeah.
He split.
No, this is his first marriage.
His first marriage.
This is his first marriage.
What are you
She's
whispering
had
for,
long
Don?
Relationships and had a child, but this was his first marriage.
Yeah,
and I've done
Don
quite a few of
up.
My muso mates.
What are you saying, Don? It's not his fault. He split up. He married her. She
first
married
marriage, I know, because I see the paperwork.
Yeah. And a very good friend of mine, and Greg Evans,
and that's his full-time thing.
Yes,
and
is.
He's amazing. Yeah.
You wouldn't conduct your ceremony dressed as you are now.
Absolutely not, unless they ask me to. Who knows? I'm in a beach dress, by the way, guys. I'm in a summer yellowy. We're actually like the memo went out to wear sunset colours. Look at us.
What's wrong with the way she's dressed
Do you think it's provocative? It's a Mac. It's a maxi dress to the ground.
Why do you think that's provocative?
My word, it's provocative.
It's a tie-dyed maxi summer dress.
What are you talking about? She's got a short-sleeved dress on because it's summer. And
it's 30 degrees outside.
Is it?
Yeah. 32.
Oh, okay.
I should have come more covered up, but I didn't think I'd offend you.
Covered up? Well done.
But it's to the ground. I mean...
Don, please.
Don, do you know what? I think we should really, like, leave this part of the conversation right where we are, because you're going to get yourself in hot water.
He's always in hot water.
No, he is always in hot water. Where are we now? You're still betrothed to Stephen?
No.
You're not...
No. So we're very, very good friends.
Yes, of course we are. Mm. And so are we tracking square with anyone, Dottie, or have you just...
No, I'm not tracking square with anyone.
Well, Don, there you are.
Where's the name Tottie? That is very,
well, it was
very...
Well, from your mate Rona, actually. She came up with it because... She's English. She was English because she's no longer with us. And I was her little. I was born Caroline, and I was her little tot. And so she called me her Totty.
It's good,
and
it I like stuck. That.
Just like and John and never, Sam.
John and Sam. And I never really related to Caroline, although it's a beautiful name. And so I ended up changing it by, you know, deed poll.
Did you?
Oh, did you?
I did for when I became a marriage celebrant because of the legal paperwork. And no one knew me as Caroline. I didn't want to confuse everyone. So I changed it. So I kept Caroline as my middle name just for shits and giggles, whatever.
Are you going to do that?
Call myself Caroline.
No, Sam. Call yourself Sam. Change John to Sam.
What, legally?
Yes.
No.
Why not?
Well, why would I?
You refer to yourself as Sam?
No, yeah, I don't. I don't refer myself as Sam.
I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have changed it if it wasn't a legal thing that I. It was. I wouldn't have needed to. So.
Okay, now.
But you refer to yourself as John.
Yeah. Oh, but I always in your refer own to head. Myself as Sam because people only know
but
me as Sam.
But with your self talk, do you go, John, why did you say that? Or do you go, Sam, yes. Why did that come out of my mouth? What does the inner voice say, John or Sam?
Sam, because Sam. I've just got so used to people calling like me Tom. Sam that people don't know who I am if I say I'm John.
Yeah. Now, can I ask you, just going on following on, you're saying you're doing classes, still doing acting classes and so forth.
And I teach it now too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose we're all hoping.
What are we hoping, Don?
What is the lady's name, the Australian actress who's been rediscovered again?
Jackie Weaver. Look, I really hope so because I'm in an age bracket where I'm getting better roles. I've done a lot more theatre and the roles are much juicier and darker and I love playing darker roles. In between lockdowns I did a tour of an amazing piece where I played a very, very dark woman and I got a lot out of it. So the casting is much more interesting for me now. Having said that, I'm writing for myself as well.
So speaking of Darren Hinch, he was married to Jackie Weaver.
Yes.
What did I see her in as a dark person in
Animal Kingdom? No, that was a few years ago. Animal Kingdom got her back on the map.
Yeah, there was something else. Well, hasn't she just done?
She's just done another one.
American series.
Yes.
Or something?
Oh God. Yep.
I just saw her and I thought. I actually was watching it and I thought. Is that Jackie Weaver? I couldn't believe because it was an American production of something. I thought, is that Jackie Weaver?
And what was the one that she played with Ben Kingsley? Is that the one you're talking about?
I think so.
Unbelievable. But it's interesting because her face and her voice are so... What's the word for it? The way she looks and she...
Interchangeable.
She's sort of got this young, quirky voice.
Yeah, she can character act the part well.
It's so fascinating. Americans have really embraced this because it's quirky. Is it Yellowstone?
That's most recent.
No, yes,
Yellowstone.
Amazing.
I watched Yellowstone. I haven't
seen
her in Yellowstone.
Very dark, very out there. It appealed to me.
Yellowstone with the
Ben Kingsley.
No, it's not Yellowstone.
Is it Yellowstone?
No.
That Ben Kingsley one?
No, that's the bloke who did Waterworld. Kevin Costner is Yellowstone. She wasn't in Yellowstone.
No, she's not in Yellowstone.
We
need the Google.
That's much where I must have seen it. What were you following on from something you were saying, Dawn? I can't even think what I was following on from. Oh, yes. So you're not going out with anyone. And it says, this is in the Google machine.
Yeah.
You were engaged to Mr. Mayo.
Yes.
Who is Mr. Mayo?
A guy called...
Not that it's any of our business.
Jimmy. I met him through some mates. We were together for 7 years and we were engaged and then he froze and he got cold feet.
Froze, you know that term?
Oh no, I've never heard of
it. You've never heard of froze?
I've never heard it in a relationship before, no.
Really?
No. Oh,
God, I've had to cross.
What, are you frozen?
Frozen 100 times.
You have or they have?
No, all of them. Yeah, no,
So we were really, really, like, we still are really good friends.
Are you?
Actually, we did. We got through, I was very brokenhearted and it took me a couple of years to really recover from that because I really loved him. But we got back on track. He actually was on a plane. I've got a video of him in my phone from yesterday. He caught the same plane as one of my brothers, Charlie, to LA, and they sent a video. And he's gone, Taylor, you toddy, love you. Like, we stayed mates, but he just couldn't get over the line, and he still hasn't. And that was 12 years ago now. So he's still not, he said, we've talked about it. We had dinner last time I was in Sydney. He said, I'm doing the same shit, Todd. And I go, well, that's not my problem now. God love you. But he's a beautiful person, but he's got some, we all have our issues, all of us.
Do we ever?
We do.
And the man sitting alongside you there has got
got an issue in the world.
Doesn't know it.
Now, Don, have you got any other...
No, I've exhausted everything.
You've exhausted really? The one thing you knew about her, that her mother was called Rona?
That's it.
No,
that's
it.
You've
known
all else about anything to do with it.
The only thing is, you didn't really answer my Shantuzzi's question.
Oh, sorry.
Because it fascinates me in music why you can get together as a group and then after a while, and I should imagine there's many, many reasons why groups break down.
Yes.
Is it creative? Is it personality? Or is it a combination of all of those things? Because you said you came back. I know you did a comeback, but you also had you finished as the Shantuzzi's there.
And you went off
and had the baby. I understand all of that.
Right. So then I formed my own band because they were doing really well. I started my own Sunday, doing Sunday gigs at the Red Eagle, which was down in Victoria Avenue in Albert Park. I loved it. Yeah. I got offered a tour to the Northern Territory. I didn't want to do that, have that experience on my own. And so I called the girls up and I said, I've been offered a tour in the Northern Territory. If I put it to the guy that's offered me the tour, would you do it with me? Because I don't want to do it alone. They're like, yeah. And so they jumped, and then we kept working with this promoter, and then Ali moved up to Sydney, so she was out for a while and she was doing TV and theatre, and then we kind of come and go. I literally went this time because I wanted to pursue acting, and as I said before, I got brought back after 3 months of being at the Ivana Chubbuck Studios in LA, and so I started writing a TV series, which I've nearly finished and I'm pitching. I've wrote a deck for another series that is on the table at the moment with Channel 10. I'm hoping to get up. I wanted to do things that I could move into my older, as Jane Fonda would say, my third act. I wanted to do things I could move into my third act doing, and I didn't want to be doing pop singing. Having said that, I said I'd do any charity gigs if they need me to jump in, which I've already done. And I love the girls. They're my best friends. Ali and I went and saw a movie last night. Evie and I went walking the day before. They're just my mates, and that will never change. I love them. And I'm right behind so it's Evie and Ali doing it now. Angie's had 4 children. She lives up in the Northern Territory. She didn't want to tour anymore. And I really like getting to bed early and waking up early and feeling healthy. And I'm 59, I'm 60 this year, and I don't want to, I want to feel good. I want my hours to be healthy, and that's where theatre comes in and television, film comes in, writing.
Now, almost finally, Don.
Have I answered your question, Don?
Yes.
Thank you.
You are medically endorsed by the medical fraternity because you have a sleep album. You've recorded a sleep album for people, I presume, to do with your chronic fatigue.
Correct.
Now, just tell us that. How do you record a sleep album? In collaboration with it. I'm just reading this out here. Record a sleep that has been prescribed by doctors. She collaborated with a child psychologist on her other album, which is aimed at children.
Yes, so the sleep one I did with a sleep scientist, a guy called Chris Bunny.
Bunny, yep.
And I had such bad problems with chronic fatigue. I just could not sleep. Mm. My mind was racing and just back to what you said about chronic fatigue and depression, I became depressed when it went on for years and years and years, and post-viral depression, because it's very heavy viruses in your system, and I was having terrible anxiety. I had to take my daughter out of the private school. That was not a problem. It was actually a blessing in disguise. I had to sell my house. I had to downsize everything because I had income protection insurance and they didn't honour it, and because chronic fatigue in those days was known as a depressive disorder. And anyway, kind of long story short, when I got better, I have extraordinary empathy to people that had problems sleeping. So with my meditation, I'd started meditating when I was pregnant with Layla, so I knew quite a lot about it. I'd been trained by extraordinary people and picked it up other things along the way because I'm really into it. So I got together with a sleep scientist to make a sleep CD to help people tune out of their minds and get into their breath and do things that I'd learned through meditation. So we did that together. And then my daughter, Layla, had terrible asthma as a baby, and at one stage she had asthma and croup at the same time when she was 10 months old, and we nearly lost her. And then when they were about to give her a tracheotomy because she wasn't responding to the medication, I started singing Humphrey B. Bear, and suddenly she relaxed because it was familiarity. The medication took, they didn't have to do the trachea, and I started recognizing the power of meditation for younger people. So I got together with a psychologist, a child psychologist, and we created a CD for younger people to help them deal with stress.
You are an extraordinarily impressive person, Toddy, you're a star. Now, I hesitate to read this out, but I'm going to anyhow.
If you hesitate, I'm nervous.
No, it's in the.
It's in Wiki. You've got to believe it.
It's in our friend. It's in our friend, the Google machine.
The Google.
She was also known as a sex symbol early in her career, and she posed nude in a magazine called Black and White in August in 1996. Have you got a copy of it available that you could give to Don and I?
Yeah, I've got some photos in here.
What about me?
Phone still.
If you could send the whole lot of the shoot to Don and I, that could keep us amused and entertained for the best part of the rest of the year.
Do you know Angie, who's in the Shantuzis, they didn't get married, but father of her children, was the photographer. And he did the whole thing on Polaroids. Oh. And it was just beautiful. It was amazing. I wanted to do it. Layla at the time was 3, and I felt it's very empowering for women, and I still do, and I don't think women my age should disappear either. I love nudity. I think the female form is the shapes and the soft. I think it's beautiful. I felt very honoured doing Black and White magazine.
Don has a camera.
There was no
here.
Bits. You couldn't see any bits.
No, Don has a camera. It's called a phone. He's got a camera phone. Don
this
would
is
love
going
to
in a
take
direction
some,
that we should just rewind. Don't look at me like, just back
I'm
up,
speaking
really.
On behalf of myself, Don.
Let's
don't
talk about the charities
like that,
I work for. Let's segue this into the big umbrella.
Yes.
Can we
speak about that? And then
big umbrella.
Yeah.
Yes, Don, it's a charity.
It's a charity. And actually because one of the reasons I got the OAM, the Order of Australia, was because of the charitable work I've done for years. Mostly with Olivia Newton-John, my auntie, started a hospital and wanted me on board with helping her get it going, and I started with it ground up out at the Austin. And with her experience with cancer, she had to outsource all the things like acupuncture and meditation and oncology massage and all this kind of thing. So they built a wing called the Olivia Newton-John Cancer and Wellness Centre, and I became very proactive with that and also worked with a lot of other charities. So, but one that I, with COVID, a lot of the charity work I was doing disappeared, and I found that very difficult because part of how I function well in the world is how I can help, and I get fed. It's like when you give, you're fed at the same time. And the big umbrella appeared in front of me, and basically they feed the people. That it's not just the homeless at the moment, it's a lot of people due to COVID. They've still got a car and a home, but they can't pay the mortgage or the rent, and they can't put food on the table. And this has happened. It's very, very important at the moment. So they've served over 300,000 meals. It's 100% volunteer based. Everything that they have is volunteer. The guy that runs it, Justin, it's volunteer for him. And they rescue food. So they've rescued over 440 tonnes of food to this.
So they go and pick it up from supermarkets or bakeries or whatever.
Yeah, and some of it gets delivered. And then we, as a volunteer, we go into the kitchens. I post this on my Instagram, on the Big Umbrella Instagram. You can see some videos I go in there and make. And we wash the food, we cut the food up. There's chefs that give us the menus. They tell us how to prepare the food, and then it gets packaged up, or we go into Fed Square in trays and we serve it. And I actually took Ali Fowler, who's one of the Shantuzi girls. She came down with me last Wednesday to help serve, but Eric Banner and his wife Rebecca were in the kitchen with me, prepping the food. John Stevens goes down there pretty much every Wednesday. We need volunteers. We also need corporates to go in, and because corporates pay, because it's what do they call it? They call it a bonding.
Sponsor, what?
No bonding. Well, they need sponsorship. No, physio sponsoring. Corporate.
Yeah, like bonding days.
It's bonding days, but there's another word for it. It's something. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. So the corporates pay, and this is a very big part of keeping this going, and they take the whole corporate team down. And there's some corporates going down next Wednesday, so I'm going down to film it. Team something. Team building.
You're onto it.
There you are. Thank you, Brain.
So if people wanted to get involved in it, how would they do it?
They would go onto the Big Umbrella on Instagram or Facebook. No, on Facebook and message them saying they want to go in and volunteer, or on their website. So they really do need volunteers.
Well, if anyone deserved an OAM for any other reason just than that, you are a deserved recipient of that. And for everything else you've done, Toddy, you are a star in every field, radio, acting, television, all the thing, and you're a great person. And Don, thank Toddy Goldsmith for coming in on behalf of Rona. thank her for coming in and being part of You Cannot Be Serious, Will You Please?
I found it very interesting, and I'm fascinated with what you said, because I was a fan, as I said, of Cheetah and the Shantouzies. So,
did you ever see a gig, live one?
I did not go.
Not that big a fan. No.
I'm not in. I had a problem going out. I had a problem going out in those days.
I'm sorry.
So I didn't go to any of those things. No, I didn't go to.
What do you mean you had a problem?
Well,
going
out? Anyway.
You're a social hermit,
anxiety.
A recluse.
No,
social anxiety?
I just, anyway.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's hard.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
social
it is.
Anxiety is hard.
Yeah, it is. It's hard. I can hardly get you up here every week. Out of your comfort zone. Righto, well, that's enough about us.
Thanks, guys.
Toddy Goldsmith, you star.
Because you ain't treating me right. Come back again.